get ready.
Hello, I think.
Welcome to the Galactic Escape Pod.
Incoming!
Well, come on.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
The official podcast of Galactic-Voyage.com.
Everybody quiet. We've been waiting for you.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Galactic Escape Pod. I'm your host, Gary Willis, and we're so glad that you're here with us today. We've got some really big news coming to you today, and we'll just kind of give you an idea of some of the topics that we're going to be talking about as we move into the episode. First, we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars Insider number 140. Also, George Lucas is going to be creating a museum. Also, George Lucas states that the original trio is a lock for Episode 7. Ian McDiarmid will be at Celebration Europe 2. On the Clone Wars front, the big news for this one is that the Clone Wars is going to be officially over. And we'll talk more in depth about that as we move forward into the podcast. Also, in gaming news, what happened to LucasArts? Also, Kotaku finally has an article about the new game title called Star Wars First Assault. And we'll get into that a little bit. In more gaming news, we'll talk about the making of Rise of the Hutt Cartel Part 1, Creating Makeb. And lastly today, we'll talk about the story of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, LP, Part 7. So let's go ahead and get right into the news.
Do you know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
Alright, move along.
First off, we'll start talking about Star Wars Insider number 140 as it arrives on shelves March the 12th. An interview inside the cover will be with Michael Price, the author of the LEGO Star Wars specials. Also, you'll find an exclusive Return of the Jedi images, an interview with the matte painter Harrison Ellenshaw, the second part of the interview with Edward Summer, a look back at Russ Manning and the making of the original Star Wars newspaper strips, the deleted scenes from the forthcoming Willow Blu-ray release, an extract from Tin Laban's Dawn of the Jedi novel, and much, much more. So be looking for that Star Wars Insider 140. If you have the subscription, it'll be hitting your mailboxes if you haven't got it already, and be looking for the Ahsoka cover. It's a special cover for this particular issue of number 140. Next up is filmmaker George Lucas is going from a movie creator to a museum curator. Lucas gave Bill Whitaker of CBS a preview of his next project at Skywalker Ranch in California. So let's take a listen to that interview.
He is the man behind some of the biggest blockbusters in Hollywood history. Now, filmmaker George Lucas is going from movie creator to museum curator. Bill Whitaker met Lucas at the Skywalker Ranch in California, where he previewed his next project. It is a story you'll see only on CBS This Morning.
Skywalker Ranch, 6,000 acres north of San Francisco, a state-of-the-art recording studio, rolling vineyards, and a Victorian-style main house. This is the place that Star Wars built, the vision of George Lucas.
Your fingerprints are on every inch of this property.
Yep, well, I'm saying the same thing will happen with the museum. It's my big project right now, so I'm going
to... His plan? To make art as accessible as his movies.
There is a world of young people who need to be inspired.
Inside, the works that inspired him. Modern technology meets turn of the century.
I basically buy what I love.
He has a passion for books, buying out the entire libraries of Paramount and Universal Studios. But even more than books, he loves art, collecting the images that would influence his filmmaking.
When did you start collecting?
I started collecting when I was really in film school. You know, I started out by collecting comic art. I bought a Uncle Scrooge comic page for like $25 and eventually moved myself up to where I could buy the high-end illustrator art. At one point, I wanted to become an illustrator. My father said, no way, I'm going to pay for that. You can go do it on your own if you want, but you'll never make a living as an artist.
Instead, he indulged in American artists. Maxfield Parrish, N.C. Wyeth, Norman Rockwell, and developed an eye for storytelling.
Illustrators have to tell a lot in one frame.
The storyteller, telling stories to a new generation.
Right.
Could be you.
Well, yeah, and I have a number of Rockwells that are about storytelling. My good friend Steve Spielberg also has a Rockwell collection, and he focuses on storytelling, but also on movies. When you see a Rockwell, you see something of yourself in there, no matter who you are, no matter where you came from.
Contemporary artists would say this is sentimental, this is schmaltzy, right. It's not edgy.
Well, it's you know, the end is you either look at the world through cynical eyes or through idealistic eyes.
That idealism showed up on the big screen in American Graffiti. And the dreamscapes of Maxfield Parrish inspired the futuristic world of Star Wars.
It is fantastical art. All of it is, because it's very romantic. It's very, you know, it appeals to the emotions more than anything else.
Lucas says the fantasy worlds of his films have never drawn high praise from critics, and his taste in art probably won't either.
I don't see anything wrong with having an idealistic, sentimental, fun point of view, especially for people that are growing up.
To inspire the next generation, his museum will also celebrate digital design and animation from some of Hollywood's biggest blockbusters.
This museum, if anything, is a dedication to cultural fantasy. How do you design environments? How do you design sets? How do you design characters? How do you design costumes?
Senator Palpatine. What's happening?
Part of the museum is designed to educate younger people into the idea of storytelling, into the idea of being able to paint your fantasies, which is what Star Wars was. Star Wars was there to inspire young people to imagine things, to imagine going anywhere in the universe and doing anything you want to do and using your imagination to entertain yourself.
Lucas has thousands of pieces, enough to rotate his exhibits every 6 months for the next 6 years. His dream location for the museum, here in the shadow of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Why here in San Francisco?
I've built my business here. I've made all my movies here. I've done everything here. And now I'm retired here.
Retired after selling his company and Star Wars franchise to Disney for $2 billion. And at age 68, he's also getting married to corporate executive and CBS News financial contributor Melody Hobson.
I'm marrying the perfect person who I've found, who knows how or why, one of those magical connections that are made, which you never think will get made. And at the same time, I'm going to make my own little personal movies and experiment with film and have fun.
Can Chapter 3... in any way compare to the first two chapters?
I hope it does. I had a great chapter one, I had an even better chapter two, and I have high hopes for chapter three.
For CBS This Morning,
you seem happy.
I am very happy.
I'm Bill Whitaker in San Francisco.
Well, it sounds like a pretty neat project, and I'm sure that George Lucas, as long as he's being happy and he's able to share not only his artwork that he tends to enjoy, but also helping the younger generation move forward, as they talked about in the interview, I think that's a really great thing. And, of course, we want to have fun when we retire, so I say best of power to him. And we're not done talking about George Lucas yet. He has stated that the original trio of Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia are a lock for Episode 7. So according to Business Week, they had an article with George Lucas where he says that Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford are pretty much a lock for Star Wars Episode 7. Asked whether members of the original Star Wars cast will appear in Episode 7, and if he called them before the deal closed to keep them informed, Lucas says, "We had already signed Mark and Carrie and Harrison, or we had pretty much in the final stages of the negotiation. So I called them to say, look, this is what's going on." He pauses. "Maybe I'm not supposed to say that. I think they want to announce that with something big, whoop-de-doo, but we're negotiating with them." And then he adds, "I won't say whether the negotiations were successful or not." So, if George Lucas says that Carrie and Mark and Harrison are going to be in the movie, then I'm pretty sure that we can expect to see them for sure as a lock in Episode 7. So this is definitely good news as we move forward. So good news for folks at Celebration Europe 2 and the fact that Ian McDiarmid will be there. Ian McDiarmid also talks to Sci-Fi Now about his legendary character and his appearance at the summer Celebration Europe 2. They asked, "Are you looking forward to Celebration?" And he answers by saying, "Yes, I certainly am. It's a great event. I've been to a couple of them before, the London one. I was there to introduce a showing of the film outside to help raise money for the cinema that went around to hospitals. And then last year, I was in Florida for the really big one, which was great, and the fans loved it. Everybody loves it. It's a great big family celebration." So he sounds like he's definitely geared up for Celebration Europe 2, and I know you fans will be looking forward to seeing him there. Now we've gotten the news that really nobody has wanted to hear, but the fact that the Clone Wars is officially over. The official Star Wars site has posted the following announcement about the future of the Clone Wars TV series and about the animated comedic series called Star Wars Detours. Here's what they had to say. "As we enter into an exciting new era focused on the next Star Wars trilogy, Lucasfilm has decided to pursue a new direction in animated programming. We are exploring a whole new Star Wars series set in a time period previously untouched in Star Wars films or television programming. You can expect more details in the months to come. As part of this shift, we have also made some key decisions affecting Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Detours. After 5 highly successful and critically acclaimed seasons of Star Wars The Clone Wars, we feel the time has come to wind down the series. While the studio is no longer producing new episodes for Cartoon Network, we're continuing production on new Clone Wars story arcs that promise to be some of the most thrilling adventures ever seen. So stay tuned for more information on where fans can soon find this bonus content." At Star Wars Celebration 6 last year, George Lucas gave fans a glimpse at the animated comedy series called Star Wars Detours from Seth Green and Matt Seinrich and Todd Grimes. "Detours was conceived and produced before we decided to move forward with the new Star Wars trilogy, and in the wake of that decision, Lucasfilm has reconsidered whether launching an animated comedy prior to the launch of Episode 7 makes sense. As a result, we've decided to postpone the release of Detours until a later date. We are incredibly proud of the teams at Lucasfilm Animation for creating some of the most amazing animation ever produced for TV. Keep checking StarWars.com for new developments on these and future projects."
Are you all right? What's wrong?
I felt a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. I fear something terrible has happened.
So, it's a very sad day, as I mentioned earlier, that the Clone Wars is coming to an end, and, you know, I just really hate to see the show go. It's not clear yet what will happen to the unaired finished episodes, and those partway through production, or if they will even try to tie the show up in a direct, say, DVD or Blu-ray movie release. That's something that Disney is known for and have done with some of their other types of properties. There are several story arcs that are ready to go. One of them we know about is the Clovis story arc that was originally slated for Season 5. And we know that a lot of voice work has been recorded for Season 6, but knowing that it takes about a year for an episode to be produced, it's not really known how many of those Season 6 stories could make it out of the pipeline. The Clone Wars has graced our screens for the last 5 years, and with each new episode, the animation, the lighting, the acting, the stories, the direction, and the production kept getting better and better, and we're sure this decision will be upsetting for many fans. While being popular, the show is fairly expensive to produce, and without George Lucas as a champion, I think it could be that the show's budget was a kind of a factor possibly in its cancellation. Now, the Clone Wars cancellation is now the second piece of really bad news since the Disney acquisition. First, we had the 3D releases of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith that were postponed in January, and also Star Wars Detours now hasn't been heard from at all on its Facebook page, and hadn't even been updated since last November. So are we now possibly facing a third cancellation? According to the official Star Wars site, it just says that it's postponed for now, but I kind of get a feeling that it might end up eventually being canceled. I also want to take the opportunity in this forum to say a big thank you, a huge thank you, to Dave Filoni, the cast, the crew, and all of the staff at Lucasfilm Animation for their amazing work on The Clone Wars. And I hope that however they decide to wrap up the remaining episodes of The Clone Wars, that we may ultimately get to at least find out the fates of Ahsoka Tano, Captain Rex, Darth Maul, Asajj Ventress, and of course many others. Now, let's go ahead and listen to the official announcement by Dave Filoni and a special clip that he's provided for the future episodes that we will see with the clones turning on the Jedi and the return of Admiral Trench. Yeah, that's right. I said Admiral Trench. You heard me right. So let's listen to this particular clip.
Hey, Star Wars fans. I'm Dave Filoni, the supervising director of Star Wars The Clone Wars. And you probably don't know this, but March is my 8th year anniversary working with the company Lucasfilm Limited. I was contacted in March of 2005. That's when I first met George Lucas, blew my mind, and my life was changed forever in the years after, as we have made over 100 episodes now of Star Wars The Clone Wars, something that, you know, I thought at the time when George told me we were going to make 100, I thought, wow, that's a lot, and it turned out not to be. We flew right past it because there were so many amazing stories to tell. And because you, the audience, were so supportive of what we were doing year after year. And that's very appreciated here by myself and my crew. I look around now, 8 years later, and there is more Star Wars happening here than at any time I've ever been with the company. It's really kind of blossomed and taking a new shape with Kathleen Kennedy heading up Lucasfilm. And you know, I look around the halls and Episode 7 of Star Wars is actually being made every day at Lucasfilm. And that's something, I mean, I didn't even think I get to say that in my lifetime. I didn't know there would be a 7, 8, 9, and there are. But because of these new exciting changes and things happening, other things have to wind down and come to a close. And that's what we're going to be doing with Star Wars The Clone Wars. And I know a lot of you have written letters and emailed and would love the show to persist. I love making the show. My crew is so dedicated to making the show. So even though we're winding things down on Star Wars The Clone Wars, it's not over yet. In fact, the best is yet to come. We have some of the most exciting, most important story arcs still coming your way. Now, what could there be left to tell? Well, as diehard fans of the series, you know there are still some gaps in there, things that are really crucial to the overall story arc of the Star Wars universe that we need to finish off and tell you. They are the best episodes that my crew has ever committed to screen. In fact, if you watch this clip, you'll know what points in the story I'm talking about, and you will want to know more.
Don't hold back! Push forward!
Tom, hey, this is not the time to freeze up. Pull it together. We're almost to the finish line. Come on!
Jedi. Good soldiers follow orders.
Hey, Tom!
On your right!
Tom, no!
Sister!
Hold your position! momentum. Fall back! Fives, I don't know what's going on. You are responsible for Tuck now. Get him back to base. I want answers.
Contact Count Dooku immediately. I have something he'll be very interested in.
As many of you, I'm sure, have heard before, as one door closes, another door opens. So I hope that in the very near future, it will be possible for us to continue to have more fantastic Star Wars TV. And I look forward to seeing that. In gaming news, what has happened to LucasArts? The Bearded Trio website asks the question, what's going on over at LucasArts? And they said, quote, when Disney bought Lucasfilm back in November, there was a collective cheer and a punching of the air from fans across the globe, except for fans of one particular area, and they are fans of LucasArts. Straight away, I was starting to hear concerns from the studio that brought us classics such as Monkey Island, X-Wing, Sam & Max, and The Force Unleashed. The reason for the concern? Disney's track record with game studios and how many had been shut down or restructured once acquired by the big studio. In the last 2 years, three big studios, all acquired by Disney, have been closed down. So we'll have to definitely keep our ears to the ground and eyes open to find out what's going on over at LucasArts. In more gaming news, and continuing that thought about LucasArts, Kotaku finally has an article about the new game title called Star Wars First Assault. Kotaku can reveal that Star Wars First Assault is a downloadable multiplayer shooter that was originally slated for release this spring. The game supports up to 16 players, one 8-person team for the Rebels and one 8-person team for the Imperials, like Stormtroopers, as they face off on Star Wars worlds like Bespin and Tatooine. And according to one person familiar with the project, First Assault is a step zero, end quote, to the heavily rumored, highly anticipated Star Wars Battlefront 3. If First Assault sells well, and assuming it releases all the way, the third Battlefront could be next. Now, this is definitely something that's near and dear to my heart, because I still game Battlefront 2 on a regular basis, and you can find me on the Jedi Battle Arena server. So I enjoy playing Battlefront. That's one of my best games. This game is a downloadable predecessor to Battlefront 3. Part of the studio's strategy was to show that there's a market for Star Wars shooters running on the Unreal Engine. So the story of Star Wars Battlefront 3 is a long and well-documented. It was commissioned as the third game of the Battlefront shooter series, and Battlefront 3 bounced from developer to developer, as you've heard, over the past few years. Although LucasArts has yet to officially announce the game, the leaked footage and images show what could have been, and the development studio Free Radical has claimed that the game was 99% finished when LucasArts killed it. And we've heard these articles before. Now, Star Wars First Assault, their sources say, would lead up to Battlefront 3. This new Battlefront would use nothing from the Battlefront 3 that has already been in production at the studios like Free Radical and Slant 6 that their sources have said. Instead, LucasArts would build Battlefront 3 based on the code from First Assault. So there are no vehicles in First Assault, there are no Jedi, and that's some of the big complaints about the folks that still play Battlefront. So you get on maps and you've got too many folks that are being shot by tanks, or you've got Jedi who can force push and they can use their lightsaber throws, and they feel it changes the tide of the game. I don't feel that way. I really like the way the Battlefront 2 was designed. But the First Assault game will not have any of those elements. You'll have just the soldiers fighting against other soldiers. So LucasArts intentionally decided not to use the Battlefront name so expectations wouldn't be too high, according to their sources. And the game is almost done. But Star Wars First Assault may never actually make it out of the studio. The status of First Assault, like the status of Star Wars 1313 and other projects that LucasArts is currently working on, remains unclear since the acquisition of Disney. And again, we'll have to keep our eye out for LucasArts to see how they're going to be moving forward. Lastly, in gaming news, the making of Rise of the Hutt Cartel Part 1, Creating McKeb. In this discussion, Hall Hood, lead writer, and Ryan Denning, lead concept artist, join forces to give more insight into the exciting new planet called McKeb, coming with the digital expansion called Rise of the Hutt Cartel. Listen as they discuss unique areas never before seen in the Old Republic universe, including the exotic settlement on McKeb and the vast plateaus that await you in the planet's volatile surface. Find out how McKeb continues your character's storyline with a galactic struggle for the planet's dwindling resources. Plus, they will discuss the beautiful render Talos City and other new graphic enhancements that will complement your gameplay experience. So let's take a listen to Making of Rise of the Hutt Cartel Part 1, Creating McKeb.
For Star Wars The Old Republic's first digital expansion, Rise of the Hutt Cartel, we wanted to give players a brand new planet to explore, someplace they've never seen before, and provide an epic story for our players that would affect the entire galaxy.
When we were thinking about what we wanted to do on this planet, is just make sure that we told the story through the visuals.
And that's exactly what McKeb is. Yeah, the story of Rise of the Hutt Cartel is a direct continuation of the player's story that was begun in the main game. The Republic has just scored several decisive victories over the Empire. The fate of the Emperor is a little unclear at this point. The Dread Masters are on the loose and they're threatening to destroy everybody. And meanwhile, both the Republic and the Empire are fighting over rapidly dwindling resources that they need in order to win the war. McKeb is a resource-rich planet that was discovered a few centuries ago and has maintained its neutrality throughout the Galactic War. Well, now the Hutts are getting greedy, and they're looking to aggressively expand their own dominion. The Republic and the Empire are not taking that lightly, and they are sending their greatest heroes to deal with this crisis, and that's where the players come in. McKeb is this truly unique, lush world. This is a planet where these cities are perched atop these massive rock pillars that are rising up out of the oceans. McKeb's atmosphere interferes with space travel. People get on and off the planet with the use of gravity hooks, which are these enormous turbo lifts that go all the way from the surface up into space. And that's one of the most beautiful things that you're going to see off in the distance. You're going to realize the epic scale of the planet.
For the art, my personal favorite is the Storm Carrier. So think of a battleship mixed with the Hutt sail barge. We've also got some technical enhancements. One of the areas I really like, there's a part where you're kind of walking around this mesa and these just beautiful waterfalls just kind of cascading down. And I think it's really neat because it's technology that we didn't have. We weren't able to do this before. And I can't wait for players to get in there and explore the planet.
We're going to have a lot more information on the story and gameplay of Rise of the Hutt Cartel in the coming weeks, so keep checking back. We can't wait to show you guys McKeb.
It's now time for the story of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope LP, Part 7. When we last left off, Darth Vader had just struck down Ben Kenobi, and the heroes are blasting stormtroopers in the Death Star hangar bay as they make their way towards the Millennium Falcon. Luke hears the voice of Ben telling him to run, and they run aboard the ship.
Luke heeds the voice of the Jedi Master and runs aboard.
I hope that old man got the tractor beam out of Commissioner. This is going to be a real short trip. Okay, hit it!
The Falcon accelerates into space, but now Luke and Leia must fight off attacking Imperial fighters.
Here they come!
controls.
Don't worry. Get you all together. Hear me, baby? Hold together.
But even as they make their escape, Solo and the others do not realize they are only pawns in a much larger game. A game being controlled by Tarkin and Vader.
Are they away?
They've just made the jump into hyperspace.
You're sure the homing beacon is secure aboard their ship? I'm taking an awful risk, Vader. This had better work.
Unaware that the Millennium Falcon is leading the battle station to the Rebel base, Solo is delighted with his handiwork.
Not a bad bit of rescue, huh? You know, sometimes I amaze even myself.
That doesn't sound too hard. They let us go. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
Easy? You call that easy?
They're tracking us.
Not this ship, sister.
At least the information in R2 is still intact.
What's so important? What's he carrying?
The technical readouts of that battle station. I only hope that when the data's analyzed, a weakness can be found. It's not over yet.
The starship begins orbit of the fourth moon of Yavin, home of the secret rebel base. On landing, the group is met in an armored speeder, which takes them to the spaceport erected inside the ancient remains of a massive temple. An eerie mist shrouds the forest of gigantic trees. The rebel commander rushes to greet them.
You're safe. When we heard about Alderaan, we feared the worst.
We have no time for SARS, Commander. You must use the information in this R2 unit to help plan the attack. It's our only hope.
Rebel technicians pour over the information stored in the little robot. And indeed, they do find what could be a serious flaw in the Death Star's design. Later, General Dodonna, chief strategist for the rebel forces, explains the defect to starship pilots.
Its defenses are designed around a direct, large-scale assault. A small, one-man fighter should be able to penetrate the outer defense. The target area is only 2 meters wide. It's a small thermal exhaust port right below the main port. The shaft leads directly to the reactor system. A precise hit will start a chain reaction which should destroy the station. Only a precise hit will set up a chain reaction. The shaft is ray shielded, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
That's impossible, even for a computer.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Then man your ships, and may the Force be with you.
The Death Star has tracked the battered pirate starship to the rebel outpost.
Orbiting the planet at maximum velocity. The moon with the rebel base will be in range in 30 minutes.
This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of Kenobi and will soon see the end of the rebellion.
With no time to waste, the rebel flight crews hasten their departure.
All flight crews, man your stations. All flight crews, man your stations.
So, you got your reward and you're just leaving then?
That's right, yeah. I got some old debts I gotta pay off with this stuff. Even if I didn't, you don't think I'd be fool enough to stick around here, do you?
Why don't you come with us? Pretty good in a fight. Could use you.
Come on. Why don't you take a look around? You know what's about to happen, what they're up against. They could use a good pilot like you. You're turning your back on them.
What good's your reward if you ain't around to use it? Besides, attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
All right. Well, take care of yourself, hon. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
Hey, Luke. May the Force be with you. What are you looking at? I know what I'm doing.
All pilots to your stations. Open main launch tubes.
Crewmen ready the ships, and R2 is lowered into position in Luke's fighter.
This R2 unit of yours seems a bit beat up.
You want a new one?
Not on your life. That little droid and I have been through a lot together. You okay, R2? Good. Okay, easy as you get.
Hang on tight, R2. You've got to come back. You wouldn't want my life to get boring, would you?
Luke throttles forward to full power, and the sleek fighter takes off, as he seems to hear the voice of old Ben Kenobi.
Luke, the Force will be with you.
Well, we've now led up to my favorite part of the story of Star Wars as we get to the climactic finish, so please join us again in our next episode as we tune in for part 8 and the final part of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope LP. Well, that's all the time we have for today. It's been a really busy show as we've talked about Insider 140, George Lucas creating a museum, also he's talking about the trio being a lock for the Episode 7, Ian McDiarmid coming to Celebration Europe 2, our sad news that the Clone Wars is officially going to be over. We also wonder where LucasArts are. They seem to be missing in action. Kotaku talking about Star Wars First Assault, the Rise of the Hutt Cartel, the creating of McKeb, and lastly, the Star Wars Episode 4 New Hope LP Part 7. So again, we thank you for joining us on the show today. We're so glad to have had you here. Please join us again next time on our next episode. I'm your host, Gary Willis, and if you need to contact us, you can join us at galactic-voyage.com. You could also join us on Twitter at Galactic Voyage. Or if you want to send in news and information or have any questions or thoughts, please contact us via email at podcast@galactic-voyage.com. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Again, come back next time and we'll talk more about some new and interesting news in the Star Wars universe. Thanks for joining us, and you all take care. And always remember that
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Joining us on the Galactic Escape Pod, the official podcast of galactic-voyage.com. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm Limited. Star Wars, all sounds, characters, and music are the property of Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of galactic-voyage.com.